All right, Mike, you found an article from USA Today.
Yes. I thought that this gives us some different topics within the elections that they didn't happen necessarily here in North Carolina, but yet since they're happening across the United States, they're definitely going to affect us here in North Carolina.
Now or eventually?
Yes.
Yep. And you don't want to talk about the big announcement that happened last night at 9 o'clock?
Well, I did. I wonder
about the college football playoff.
The college football playoff. Yeah, I did wonder if we needed to change the article last minute to Trump 2024, but then I decided we could go ahead and stick with the original article. Might be more worthwhile.
Yeah, it is more worthwhile. So let's see what's going on.
So millions of voters across the country cast their ballots for the 2022 midterm elections on Tuesday. In addition to picking local and state officials, including key governorships, their votes should determine whether Democrats will be able to keep control of the U.S. House and Senate, or if Republicans will flip one or both houses of Congress.
How old is this article, Mike? A couple days old?
One day,
because as of now, it really looks pretty solid that the Republicans will get the House. They're one seat away, and that the Senate will stay in the control of the Democrats, and whether it'll be a 50-50 split or whether it'll go 51-49, depending on Georgia.
Yep. But as of Thursday afternoon, some of the nation's most consequential races have yet to be decided. The future of congressional control is still up for grabs, and while both parties raked in key wins so far, Democrats have held off the Republican red wave that many strategists predicted leading up to Tuesday. Amid millions of votes for lawmakers, voters also weighed in on ballot initiatives ranging from legalizing marijuana to accessing abortion and outlawing slavery. Some Americans voted on raising the minimum wage, expanding Medicaid, and policies designed to address climate change. Here's what you need to know about the key ballot measures from Election Day 2022. Abortion access votes in California, Kentucky, Michigan, and Vermont. After the Supreme Court overturned its landmark Roe v. Wade decision earlier this year, abortion access became a key issue across the country. For the midterms, advocates hoped that states would protect reproductive rights. Voters in Michigan, California, and Vermont enshrined abortion rights in their state constitutions on Tuesday. In Kentucky, an anti-abortion measure on the ballot was rejected by voters. The rejection of the proposed Kentucky amendment, which attempted to deny any constitutional protections for abortion in the state, marks a significant victory for abortion rights. Kentucky's GOP-dominated legislature has imposed a near-total ban on abortions, which could still be upheld by the state Supreme Court. But the amendment rejection also means there's a possibility for the court to declare abortion as a state right. In Montana, voters rejected a referendum could have meant criminal charges for healthcare workers if they don't take all medically appropriate and reasonable actions to preserve the life of an infant who is born living, including after an attempted abortion. Voting measures in Arizona, Connecticut, Michigan, and Nebraska. Voting rights were on the ballot in several states for the midterms, including measures on voter identification, early voting, and rules on passing ballot initiatives. In Connecticut, a proposed constitutional amendment to allow in-person early voting passed. Meanwhile, Ohio voters passed an amendment that will prohibit people who are not U.S. citizens from voting in local elections. And in Nebraska, voters passed a measure that will require a valid photo ID to vote in any election. In Michigan, voters approved creating a 9-day window for early voting, among other changes. In Arizona, voters were asked whether they should be required to provide a date of birth and voter identification number for early ballot affidavits, instead of only a signature. It was too early to call as of Friday morning. Arizonans rejected a measure about whether the state's legislature can change measures that voters passed if the measures are deemed unconstitutional. Ballots in Nevada asked voters about establishing ranked choice voting for congressional and some state elections. The votes were too close to call as of Friday morning.
All right, let's take a pause because we've covered a lot of stuff.
And just to stand corrected, the article was Friday last week, so I misdated it.
Okay, so that's why
Yes.
The author seems so indecisive in the first paragraphs concerning
yes
where everyone's at here on this.
So November 11th there.
So we've already talked about there was no red wave, and seems to me that one of the reasons there wasn't a red wave is because of the decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. That decision, although certainly was a victory in some sense, does not seem to be the victory that everyone thought it initially might be. Look at the direction we're going as states.
And so I think people that were running for office that were against abortion, and that was their primary push within their politics, it seems like they got voted down. But yet there are some out there that are against abortion, but yet are pushing other topics. They didn't get voted down as much.
Jack, thoughts?
It played out like I thought it would.
Man, you need to be a pundit then.
I didn't expect a big red wave. I know that we're calling for a Democratic-controlled Senate, but it's actually not. It's just that the two independents vote more liberal.
Well, they caucus with them, which gives them the
right
majority.
Which, and they're the liberals are, we're going to see a rise in liberalism. We've always been a liberal nation since the time we broke from the crown. We'll always be a liberal nation. The question is how liberal are we going to become? And what we have to understand is the Supreme Court decision did, yes, it overturned a one single court decision, Roe versus Wade, and they did it by using Obergefell and Mississippi. Mississippi had a criminalization on abortion. That was going to be the big issue. That is what was weaponized in the politics, the criminalization. That's why Montana turned it away. So what you're really saying is okay, we've held doctors and nurses and all these people as heroes for 2 years of COVID. And now we're going to say that if they don't make every attempt, they're going to go to prison after they've been sacrificing as hundreds and millions and billions have died. It just doesn't set well in the American populace's mouth. If they had left the criminalization out of it, I think many more of these legislative measures might have had a chance to pass in what we should call purple states, the states that swing back and forth. Michigan, New York, California, those states, you can give it up. I'm surprised they haven't constitutionalized full-term abortion at this point.
It seems like that's what they did in California.
Which is what I said would happen back when we first talked about Roe versus Wade. I said California would eventually legalize full-term abortion.
It's impossible to know, obviously, Jack, but it would be very interesting to consider what if they had not dealt with Roe versus Wade? What if that... Just make that a moot point. It didn't happen.
Bring it into the spring.
What would we have experienced a red wave? Because all the conditions were in place to experience a red wave.
You would have had a more likely scenario of that happening. And again, I think the criminalization is the part that hurt the most.
Would young voters from Michigan University line up in the freezing cold all the way down? I mean, they were just like, the pictures were just incredible of these young voters everywhere lined up. Would they have been as motivated to vote if the abortion issue had not been on the ballot, directly or indirectly?
And I'll tell you this. If I was a Democrat, let's go ahead and, okay, I'm going to make a prediction. Put it down, mark the date. All right. If Trump wins the Republican nomination.
Yep.
And he becomes the presidential nomination. So that's the predecessor of what I'm going to say. We will see a large majority of our country and the states be blue.
Yep. I would agree with that.
because the one-third that did not vote this time, that's young, that didn't make it out, that didn't do the University of Michigan piece, will pour out just to keep him out of office, and it'll be a vote out of spite, mm-hmm. not in vote of a Democrat. The only way a Democrat could lose that election is to open their mouth and say something stupid. And it would have to be stupid. And it would have to be completely horrendous.
I don't think they could. I don't think Trump has a snowball's chance in hell of winning.
I hope not.
I think, you know, Beth and I were talking about that the other night.
I'm talking about the Republican nomination.
I mean, he had a lot of great ideas, a lot of great policies. If he could have just...
Shut his mouth?
Yes. Or stopped his fingers from doing their thing. And if he hadn't alienated so many people and groups...
How is it possible that someone doesn't see that? How can a person be so blind?
Well, that's what I told her. I was like, you know, his aides, his people were going, stop, please stop. You're killing yourself. And he had to just go, I don't care, and keep on doing it. Like, somebody in the White House had to have said to him.
But isn't that was his personality from the get-go, though? That's why he had that. That's why he had that TV show.
The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't change. I think that's the way he always has handled business.
Other than Kevin McAllister when he was lost in the lobby of the Plaza Hotel. He helped him find the lobby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I think, you know, he's always handled himself that way. You know, been bombastic in business. But yet, we just didn't see it because we're not in his business world. And he saw how it works when you're a bully. And you get property that you want, and you get the price that you want. And he saw that there was a group of population within the United States that was, you know, influenceable through that, and he took advantage of it. And he wants to do it again. But I'm with you, Jack, that group is still out there. I think it's much smaller than it was. But then I think there's this other group that is growing and is much more willing to step up and vote. As you said, it's just an anti-vote against him.
Yeah.
It's not a vote for anybody at all, but they just do not want any more of that.
The Republican Party will put a nail in their coffin.
Not a single nail, Jackson.
Several.
Not a single
nail. But I'm talking about if they don't put DeSantis as the presidential nomination. Unless a new political star arises.
There's no new... Jack, there's no one...
on the horizon.
No. It would have to be an Antichrist scenario, okay?
Somebody to step up that much in 2 years.
No, right.
6 months even, because really, they would have to really start being predominant right now within the next 6 months.
No, it... The very fact that the man could not even issue a congratulations to his own governor for just destroying the Democratic opponent. I mean, forget about loving your Christ. I'm just talking politics right now for just a moment. How could you be a resident of the state and your governor wins by 18 points in what was a record win for the state of Florida?
And he's in your party.
He's in your party. And he's your governor. And you don't even have the civility to issue a momentary congratulations, well done.
No, because you know he's your next opponent.
I know, but even somebody who... He doesn't even realize how much that hurts him.
Well, I know.
That it would have been better for him for his own election to be civil at that moment than it would be the opposite. I mean,
but when does a narcissist recognize that he's going to be hurt?
He does not.
Is it that bad?
Yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes. It's crazy.
Sorry.
Maybe
I should have hesitated a little.
Biden's cognitive delay is more favorable.
Yes, I know. Well, we saw that in Pennsylvania. Saw that in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the guy with the stroke beat Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
Has that been finalized?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it sure has.
Yeah, the only two states that are not finalized are Alaska, which will be Republican, because they do ranked, they vote for ranked voting. kind of like the one state that I guess we read about that was looking to do that as well. So their top two candidates on the ballot that came out will now be voted on against each other. They're both Republican. Hmm. So we know the state's going to go red as far as the one Senate seat, which is going...
And but, the House
And I think
is
that's why I think they call it 49. That's why the 49th is there, even though it's not actually colored on the map. It's kind of still that maroon leaning, because nothing's official. And then Georgia is just completely up in the air.
I don't think it's up in the air. I think that...
Well, I think Atlanta will carry it blue.
Yep, I do too.
Atlanta, Columbus.
Yeah, so Georgia, they had to do a whole nother revote?
Yeah, they're doing it on December 6th, I believe.
Is that because it was...
That their state constitution requires 50%. Okay. You have to achieve 50% in order to win. Nobody got 50%. There were three candidates.
Okay.
Right.
So now it's Walker and Warnock. Right.
Now it's two candidates, and they don't have to achieve 50%. They just have to get the most votes. Which I don't understand how that would happen mathematically, but in any case, whoever gets the most votes wins.
Well, we have a lot of Jack farmers that write themselves in.
Yes, right.
I don't think you have a write-in ballot on that one.
Oh, okay. Whoops.
Unless I didn't have one for senator.
But clearly we've seen that we are just as divided as it gets over the abortion issue. And it'll be very interesting to see whether we continue to see a decline in abortions, because we have already been on a glide path of decline in abortions. Probably in part because of the abortions that can happen through the pills that you take. And so, therefore, they're not...
Counted,
right. There's not a count. But,
the morning after.
Yeah, right. So there's no reason to go to a doctor. You don't, you know, you can buy that medicine from Canada or wherever, and as such, no one knows about it. What else did you see on here, Mike, that was of interest to you concerning... We haven't finished the article, but anything else that the states are doing?
You want to talk about marijuana?
Well,
slavery.
I don't think the slavery one was one that merited much discussion, but yet, you know, I did think that, you know, the recreational use of marijuana, and then also just within the financial system of, you know, the minimum wage being raised and tips, and, you know, I know Jack often brings us back to the economical state within our country, so I thought that would be something that would be good to talk about.
Well, the minimum wage problem is taking care of itself. I mean, we're already at a $15 an hour minimum wage in the state of North Carolina without voting on it. Mm-hmm. Target.
Pragmatically.
Yeah, yeah. To be a seasonal worker at Target, $15 an hour is what they're offering right now, to be a seasonal worker at Target. I mean, you know, so we've taken care of that problem.
Which is interesting. I mean, you look at the decisions behind that is, and there's definitely a line to walk when you're in business of valuing the employee versus, you know, the supply and demand of the workforce. Like, we understand that. But, you know, you just think it's interesting because, well, Forbes will put out lists of, you know, best companies to work for. It's like, why did it take some of these companies a lack of laborers to decide maybe we should pay them more? Because if they had good employees and they were making profit, you kind of want to ask yourself, why weren't they doing some of this before?
Because they have a responsibility to stakeholders.
Yep.
When you're a CEO or a CFO, you're not responsible to the workers. You're responsible to the stakeholders. That's how capitalism works. Socialism is about the worker.
So it would have been nice if they had done that, and they might have gotten some higher quality workers, but yet the job was still getting done to the level that it needed to with not spending as much money, so right. They didn't.
Well, yeah, but let's not forget about the fact that we've all... Okay, everyone in this room can remember when we'd go to lunch and we would spend under $10.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Now you cannot go to lunch and spend
a few places, but it's
pretty
very
hard.
But it's normative to be at $11, $12, $14 for lunch. I mean, like the other day, I thought, you know, I'm going to save myself a couple bucks. We're going to go to Mod Pizza instead of Mission Barbecue. Okay, it may have been $1 difference. Okay, so yeah, the workers are getting paid more, Brian, mm-hmm. but we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's not as though the corporations decided, you know, we're going. They just drove the prices up. And so what they didn't know, I think, to their defense is, who's going to be the first one to take it the lunch to $14 in order to pay their employees $15 while everyone else is down at $10. So it all gradually went like this,
right?
Simultaneously.
Well, and also in there is the supply cost. Chick-fil-A. Because we see that on the consumer end at the grocery store. Everything's gone up. Even Aldi has raised their prices on things. So it's gradually, and like you said, everything has shifted together, and so it seems like it's better, because it's like, you know, I drive by a sign and it's like, you know, part-time for Taco Bell is like $15-18 an hour now, and I'm just like, dude.
It's not better, though. It's not better.
It's not. That,
right.
The whole system is not improved.
No, nothing's improved.
Just everything collectively is more expensive.
And what's
the workers are not working.
they're getting paid more, even though they're not working better.
Right.
And everybody is paying the price for that.
Including the workers, Mike. Yep. Including the workers. Mm-hmm. It's not as though the workers get an exempt out of paying for gas more, everything else.
Right.
So while they may think that they're making more money, their disposable income is not any more. In fact, it's
quite disproportionate.
Yes, right. So, you know, you say, bad corporations, why couldn't they just pay their employees more? Okay, us, we decide what they pay.
Yeah. The money has
to come
from
somewhere.
That's
what you're talking about with capitalism. The entire system decides.
So what we're doing, Jack, is we're paying the stakeholders money by paying more expensive prices for food.
Correct. So what happens is...
Yes, we are. So invest and become a stakeholder.
And here's the real issue. Okay, so... Have you ever noticed that when the Fed raises taxes or the Fed raises interest rates on loans, that the stock market goes down?
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because the stakeholder loses expendable income to invest.
Yep.
So therefore, they know that they have to lower the rates to keep the investors investing. So then when times are good and you see the stock market... interest rates rise, that means it's rebounding, as they call it on the news and things like that, you'll notice that the Fed is going to start lowering house prices and loan prices and car loan prices.
Yeah, they don't actually lower the house prices, the cost to borrow the money to buy
the interest rates.
Right.
They drop because you only have so many dollars to chase so many products.
Right.
But when you poof $30 trillion out of the air by the wave of a pen across a piece of paper and sign it into law, billionaire president and president following him, because they both did it,
yeah.
you send more money after the same number of products.
So now
I can boost the number of products. The only way to pull that money out is to raise the price on loans, the interest rates on loans. And our government hasn't done that. In Keynesian economics,
they have done it.
Not to the extent they need to.
Well,
they're inching it up.
Yes, they're.
Yeah, so we're still looking at a 5-year peak. This is like the rain has stopped, the hurricane's passed, but we're still watching the Cape Fear River crest and wondering how much more it's going to flood a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a delicate... Don't think of it as a free market. It's not free.
No.
It's being manipulated.
Oh, yeah, it's a controlled market.
One direction or the other, all the time.
Yeah, we're not a true...
You know, we're not a true free market. A free market, there's no outside influence.
Right.
The manipulation of where do we take it, how high, how fast, those are all the great unknowns.
Because what they're trying to do is keep. How did I describe it to the kids in economics class? It's like a car engine, and you can get to where you're going going 25 miles an hour because the car's limping along and eventually you'll get there. That's a recession. You can get there at 75 miles an hour. That's when we're just things are great in America. Or you can come to a complete stop because your car is completely broke down. That's a depression. What we've done is we've manipulated to the point where we can't ever get it going full speed. So when it does slow down, it goes slower than what we would want it to. Where if we had it at full speed and it slowed down, we would still have good speed because we'd have the momentum. But we can't build the momentum. It's constantly being controlled in what they consider a safe zone of keeping it limping, but not going too fast either.
Yeah, because they got all the computer algorithms that are
controlling
it.
So what do you see it going to? So I was talking to one of our employees yesterday that's looking to buy a car, and interest rates are floating over 5% for a vehicle. See that going to 8? Because when I bought my truck in 2021, I got a 3% interest rate, which was high for, I mean, it was higher than it used to be, because you used to be able to get them down to 2.5.
Well, in 1991, when I bought...
I was 3.
Okay, and I bought, we bought, Beth and I bought our first brand new vehicle, a 91 Toyota Tercel, and we had good credit, decent credit, whatever, as best as you could at that young an age, hadn't really bought anything. I think the best interest rate we could get was 10% on a vehicle loan in 91.
And what was the sale price of that car?
20-something.
No, 30-something. No, it was 3,500, 3,000,
right.
Something. I think.
Which 4, I would say comparable. I mean, I know the Tercel's not around anymore, but comparable, that's a Toyota Corolla now. Size of vehicle.
A little bit smaller, but yeah.
Okay, Toyota Yaris. You're talking.
Wait a minute. That's, maybe it was $10,000.
No, it wasn't.
I think it was $10,000. Let me look. Just a second.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you bought a brand new vehicle, yeah. Steve, for $3,000 in 1991.
Yeah. MSRP.
Because that's. I mean, that's one of the things that we're talking about, like restaurant prices, and that's the unfortunate reality. Is sure, like. There might be a little bit of market fluctuation where things, the price of some things kind of balances back out. But Mission Barbecue is not pulling $20 down from their menu board for one of their line items. Like Mod Pizza is, like, I don't see restaurants bringing their prices back down in a couple years.
They haven't coming back down.
Right. Just like, we look at, you watch an Andy Griffith episode and you see what a haircut cost or what a burger cost or anything like that. Like, it's never coming back.
Mm-mm.
The thing that we have to, and you asked the question, what do you see it going to? I can't give you what I think will be a ceiling or anything else. I can tell you that they can't take the interest rates too high because they will stagnate the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to implode it unless they want to do a reset. Now, hitting us into a depression would do a reset. What will determine that is next year's food supply. That will be the huge one, because right now you've got to think about the transportation cost, the fuel that could not be purchased for planting, the seed that could not be purchased for planting, the no transportation, so things rotted. Look at the lettuce shortage in and of itself. These are going to be huge. In the next year, there's going to be a more food shortages coming.
Sure,
it was a 28,000 for the Tercel, brand new in 91.
So, you go look at Japan in the 70s. They've already ran this model. They ran this path in the 70s. It took them 8 years to recover. And that's because they hiked interest rates astronomically the first year. And it took 8 years for the inflation to taper off. Prices to come back down to a normative range. And they has also had to short certain supply things to basically take away the taste of it from their own people. Hmm. So at what point are we going to do that? At what point is America going to be okay with... Hey, you know what? We're not stocking 85-inch TVs.
They're not. They're not going to be okay.
Right. So what you say about prices maintaining and not backing down is definitely true. But we also, and what's going to end up doing is it's going to continue to redistribute our wealth. And we're going to have the perception of being rich, but in reality, we're going to be incredibly poor. And the average American saving rate, which is negative 6.6% 10 years ago, is going to go to negative 5%, negative 6% annually. We're going to be eating our savings accounts to survive till we have nothing.
What I would like to know, and what's fascinating to me, is, you know, because we sort of got off on this whole financial piece, is, you know, we experts know that finance is psychology and human mm-hmm. behavior and decision making. That's the at the core of it, and those experts that can use models and computer models to predict behavior and stuff. You know, they're people who spend their whole careers figuring that stuff out. But to me, there's two possible reasons for thinking a certain way. First of all, you could be uneducated, and then, or secondly, you could have just a false system of beliefs. So if you think, hey, there's some uneducated people out there, that if you showed them the true facts, they would change their behavior, their mind about it, right? And so if we think about, like, young people, I think it's extremely important that as we, kind of a little bit older around the table, we say things like, you know, this generation quietly quitting, this generation this and this, but I think it's important, and I'm saying this, but clearly not in this field, of people who, you know, educate young people about, you know, what kind of society we live in. You know, there is seems to be a resurgence of interest in communal type systems, communism and socialism and other isms that they purport to take care of the problem of abusing people and those kind of things. But we know there's a lot in those systems that just, if you're really educated about it, it doesn't really help the individual. It actually hurts them. And so, you know, I don't know how we can measure it, but, you know, to what number of people are uneducated and what number of people just have a wrong belief? Like, a wrong belief would be, well, just because God gave it to you, I can take it if I want to. I mean, we would say that that's an evil belief that goes against the fabric of Scripture.
It's definitely Machiavellian.
We would say something like, well, if you know, the Scripture says if you don't work, you don't eat. So a false belief would be, well, you know, everybody owes me something, you know. And so I think we tend to run to everybody has that false belief. You know, we got a bunch of lazy people out there who think that if I don't work, you should still feed me. And it would be interesting if we could figure out some sort of metric to figure out, well, is that really the case, or do they need to be reeducated as to how the system works? Hmm. Because I know, you know, personally, you know, when I was 20, and all the, I didn't know how a lot of those systems work. I mean, just think about this article we read through. And all some of the issues that we talked about, you have to spend a lot of your life trying to figure out these issues if you're going to talk about them intelligently at all. You don't just accidentally happen upon, you know, what's the difference between putting something in a constitution in a state and just voting it as a law? I would say a lot of young people don't even know that difference. You know, why are we reaching for, let's make this an amendment in our constitution about abortion rather than let's just pass a law? Well, the people who really know, they know why. Because a constitutional amendment is harder to get rid of, it's more permanent than a law. But I would say most 18 and 20, are, you know, they don't know that. And so, and when they start to become age of voting, I mean, they're standing in lines, they have no idea what they're voting for.
Yeah, this year they did. They knew that they were voting because they were told that someone was going to take away their right to abort a baby.
Right.
So,
which,
if you go, they can figure that out.
And if you walk down this article, okay, so you go back to the heading of prohibiting slavery, they were basically saying that prisoners had the position where they could be forced into labor without wages, everything else, and it's a form of slavery. So they're going to raise the wage, of people working in prison. Okay, so here's how the evil mind works. Okay, well, we'll just charge them more for the stuff that they have, and basically they won't ever be able to clear their fines or anything else because, and you know what, why don't we be kind and say that you can actually get out of prison once your fine is paid? And we're going to pay you so that you can pay off your fine, but I'm going to charge you for everything in the commissary and ply you with the ability to buy the things that bring pleasure so that you never earn anything. And let's legalize weed so we can tax it. So then we can control it. We can get the people onto that area of aspects. Minimum wage, you said, is taking care of yourself, but it's not going to be enough to raise our money. So, you know, the Republicans for years have been saying we need a sales tax, to, and it would take care of the immigration problem. It would fund the health care. It would do that and everything else. And we, you know what? They were right. So let's have a sales tax, but we're not going to repeal the income tax.
That's exactly what's going to
happen. And then the last one, the page we didn't get to, New Mexico voters make pre-K a universal right. John, there's your education, but they're not going to be educated that it's wrong. They're going to be educated that it's
correct, yeah.
Correct and right.
Yeah.
So because we think that even though all the countries that have done communism and socialism have fallen or are terrible conditions, we think that we can do it better and right.
Of course we can.
And take care of people and not go down the road that every other country that has done communism and socialism has gone down. Because we're America. We can do it right. They did it wrong.
And that's the every, but that's the every country says that, Mike.
Yeah.
They're relying on the...
The model's good. The issue is the people. We're going to be different.
Yeah, right? They're not going to work.
But the problem is no, the model is wrong. It is
right.
Broken.
Right. The model is not.
The model has never proven to work. In theory, does it sound great? Yeah.
Well, now we're back
but
to...
But it doesn't work.
Well, now we're back to Brian's... Well, now we're back to Brian's workage shortage.
Mm-hmm. Of course we are. Well, we got to get ready for prayer time. It'll be very interesting these next 2 years concerning Trump, concerning the Republicans, concerning whether Biden's going to run for 4 more years, which this certainly seems to be the win that he got out of this, seems to solidify the fact that he thinks he's the greatest president ever.
Well, and I'll make a prediction since Jack's making a prediction. The more likely it looks that Trump is going to get the nomination,
the more Biden will stay in, right?
The more Biden will stay in. But if it looks like Trump is not going to get the nomination, then I think that might give Biden some hesitancy.
I can't even fathom.
Is it Gavin Newsom? Do we see DeSantis and Newsom against each other as presidential?
No, I don't think
Biden doesn't run.
Yeah, I think Biden's there. I don't think anything could happen in the next 23 months because it's not 23 months. You got to make your decision way earlier than that.
You got to make it now.
Right. I mean, Newsom can't get a 6-month notice to get ready as an alternative to Biden. The money that you need to raise, the campaigning that you'd have to do. So, I mean, it's the next 6 months. But I don't think Biden stands a chance against DeSantis. Not a chance.
Is no. Newsom his vice presidential candidate, and they drop Kamala Harris?
No way.
I wonder if he's going to even physically be able to go.
Sure, I hear you on that. I hear you, but...
But that's where they just prop him up from behind.
Right. Like they have been doing already. Don't think he's not propped up now.
They get presidential aides in bunny suits to give him directions at the Easter on the
no
lawn.
No kidding!
Yeah.
And the Republicans didn't figure out how to dress somebody up in a bunny suit to take the phone away.
Did you say it was prayer time getting close?
I did say that.
Okay.
Yeah, we have plenty to pray about.
Yeah,
let's move to our staff prayer time.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.